In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you have ever had anyone hurt you in life, you probably know what it is to have a grudge. It's when you hang on to a hurt, hold it over that person who hurt you, you bear anger for them and desire to see them suffer. That is a grudge. Joseph is 18 years old, and his brothers say to him, "Here comes that dreamer. Let's kill him. Throw him in the pit and then see what comes of these dreams." Joseph is dad's favorite, but the brothers hate his guts. They sell him to Midianite traders going down to Egypt. He becomes the head of Potiphar's house. He is unjustly imprisoned because of his wife. But there he makes friends with the cupbearer, who remembers Joseph as the interpreter of dreams. And after 23 years, Joseph becomes the prime minister of Egypt. So when his brothers come to him begging for food years later, when Egypt has much and Israel has little, Joseph tricked them into bringing the whole family to Egypt, especially his beloved father, Jacob. Joseph, the second most powerful man in Egypt, had not sought revenge against his brothers. But when Jacob died, the brothers feared that the gloves would come off. Perhaps he was holding his anger back out of respect for dad. But now that dad's gone, he'll give us what we deserve. And in great fear, they sent word to Joseph with a mixture of deception about their father's dying wishes and perhaps genuine repentance for the wrongs that they had done. They fall down before him in humility, asking for forgiveness. And in a dramatic moment, Genesis ends with this story of brotherly forgiveness and reconciliation. And Joseph says, "You intended to harm, but God intended it for good." Jesus and Peter have this conversation. And he asks Jesus, how many times should he forgive the wrong done to him? The story in our gospel reading from Matthew 18. Jesus says, not seven times, but 70 times seven. And he tells the parable about this wealthy master who was owed 10,000 talents. 10,000 talents is 200,000 years worth of labor. It's silly, right? It's a laughable number. Nobody could really settle an account like that. But the servant's response is just as silly, right? Be patient with me and my 200,000 years worth of labor. I'll pay back every penny. In fact, we'll have a monthly installment plan. On the first of the month, for the next 2,400,000 months, I'll pay it off. The master opens his heart and he says, "You are released from your debt." And now it gets really silly. Having been released, the servant doesn't throw a party. He doesn't celebrate. Rather, he finds the first person that owes him anything. Not a significant amount, 100 denarii, a few months worth of labor. The unmerciful servant grabs him by the neck and chokes him and demands he pay back every last dime. How could this servant not be changed, Peter? How could he insist on keeping track of so little? How sinful, Peter, to live like that. Peter, don't you know the kind of sin that I'm most concerned about? The sin of limiting forgiveness? Of refusing to forgive those who sinned against us? Peter, we can't imagine with his little ledger in hand, wondering how many of these sins he can put up with and how many times. And Jesus flips the script and says, Peter, the sin that I'm talking about is in your hand. The sin of bookkeeping. Peter, don't you know that a refusal to forgive, it's got to go. Jesus to Peter and Peter to us, the sin that we cannot have is the refusal to forgive sin. That's what gets us. Dear people, let me be clear. Difficult times are directly ahead. Because life bumps and bruises us and may even break us, the temptation is to hold a grudge. In the story of my youth, Forrest Gump, you know that movie? Life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. In one scene, Forrest and Jenny are walking along the road and they get to the abandoned home where she was sexually abused by her father. And she picks up rocks and she throws the rocks until she's so exhausted. And finally she falls down. And the scene closes and Forrest says, sometimes there just aren't enough rocks. We love to throw rocks, don't we? We live petty lives, sarcastic lives, holding on to hurts. Get out of my way. How dare you cross me? Obsessed with what she said, what he did, what they didn't do. This is self-destructive behavior. Is there a way out of living these small little lives? Yes, there is. St. Paul writes in Romans 8, we know that in all things God works for the good for those who are called according to his purpose. He does not say all things are good. No. Paul does not say, wouldn't it be nice? No, we are convinced that the God of Joseph takes all the tough stuff, the distasteful things, the bad experiences, and God uses them. Matthew 5:44, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. Ephesians 4:32, be kind and tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. Wow. Now I know what you're thinking. You just don't know. You don't know what I've been through. You have no idea. I deserve to get even. I deserve to stick it to them. And you may be right. But let me say one thing. Don't do it. You will regret it. Because you see, God has a plan. And he's right beside you, walking with you. Life is messy. Forgiveness is messy. We are not immune to grudge bearing. Too often we are like that unmerciful servant who wants to exact the price from his debtor rather than like Joseph showing mercy to his brothers. Or we say, I'll forgive, but Lord knows I won't forget. There is a good example of forgiveness which shows us the model. There is the bad example which gives us a stern warning. But then there's Jesus. Jesus, of course, is the fount and source of forgiveness. Without him, we have no forgiveness. With him, we have perfect forgiveness. Without him, all we have is our outrageous sin of debt. With him, we have all the riches of God's grace. His cross and tomb and resurrection do not show us the way to act. They are the actions that win God's favor for us. And if you haven't figured it out, we are all the servant with the great debt. We are the brothers who have offended the other. We deserve retribution and punishment for our Lord and Master. But the Master is merciful and gracious and kind, and he pays the debt himself by sending his Son to suffer and die. And when we come before his throne and beg, have mercy on your humble servants, he is quick to grant mercy and more. This forgiveness changes the heart. Where our sinful nature wants to avenge itself, the new man in Christ seeks forgiveness. Where the old Adam wants his own warped justice, the new Adam knows grace and acts in mercy. But it is a struggle that goes on within us, and so we need forgiveness every day as we ourselves struggle to trust in the promises of the gospel and live according to it. Not only are we the ones to ask forgiveness, yes, but we are the ones to give on behalf of God's. Joseph asks an interesting question. Am I in the place of God? The answer, of course, is no. And yes. No, when it comes to God's judgment. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. We are not to judge the souls or judge the faith. We're not the one to hand out punishments for sin, acting on our own accord to determine its consequences. But yes, when it comes to sharing and declaring the forgiveness of Christ, we are most certainly in the place of God. For Jesus gave us this charge. When he appeared to his disciples on Easter Sunday, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins, they are forgiven." This is why the pastor forgives in the stead and by the command of Christ. This is why the Christian consoles his brother with the promises of Christ and forgives trespasses when others trespass against us. So yes, we get double duty on forgiveness. And we learn from the good example of Joseph and the bad example of the unmerciful servant. And we see the source of all forgiveness and life, Jesus Christ, our Master and Lord, who forgives his servant and gives us, his servants, the charge to forgive others. For the forgiveness that we need, we thank him. And for the hearts to forgive others, we pray his strength and his spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.